Well, you know, there's a very strange scripture, perhaps one of the most all-encompassing in all of the Bible, that is found in verse 7 of Revelation 21. I've been in a series of programs in the book of Revelation. We have now come to the last two chapters of the book of Revelation that is really like a recapitulation of the entire Bible, a summarization of all that has gone before. And to read up to this, it says, "It is done," meaning we are now being given a glimpse into the projected conclusion of the entire plan, the program, and the purpose of God. The whole purpose for human life, the reason for this earth, the universe, for life that is upon it. What is God doing? What is the program all about? What are we? What is man? Why are we here? What is human nature? What is the purpose for us walking around in this experience we call life? Here is a projected conclusion to the entire matter. He said unto me, verse 6, "It is done." Revelation 21:6. I am Alpha and Omega, using the first and the last letters of the Greek alphabet, meaning, as he says, the beginning and the end. Now notice in verse 6, "I will give unto him that is athirst." This isn't the way some churches teach it. "The fountain of the water of life freely." Oh? Is that the way you feel about your salvation? I know a lot of people that are in deadly fear every single day of their lives that their salvation can be taken away from them by an irascible human leader. I know people who tremble in their boots when they go to church. When they go to church, and I know thousands of people like this who write to me and indicate to me, and their friends do all the time, that the most miserable day of their week is when they go to church, because they know they got to guard their mouths. They got to be careful. One person told me recently, in a major city in the Midwestern part of the United States, who attended that church, he said, "I not only have to watch what I say, I got to watch what I think." I mean, the guy must have thought his mind was being bugged. But there had been so many cases of where members of this church organization had bared their souls to their minister, and the minister turned around and stabbed him in the back, reported them to somebody else, and they got promptly disfellowshipped. Instead of being helped, instead of being counseled, instead of being given the empathy and the sympathy and the understanding and the kindness and the mercy and the forgiveness that they sought, they were given instead a tongue lashing. Well, you know, the Bible says here that Jesus Christ will give unto him that is athirst. Are you thirsty? Do you thirst for salvation? Do you desire an end to your personal, mental, physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual problems? Do you want to have your body physically healed? Do you want to know, and know that you know, that the really big question of your life is already settled? I mean, it's over. It's a fait accompli. It's ended. You've already taken care of the ultimate big question: what happens when I die? Am I going to be okay? Will I be in God's kingdom? Have you settled the question, what next after you die? That's why I wrote this booklet entitled, "Afraid to Die?" Question mark. Are you afraid to die? Well, of course. We all answer that in the affirmative. Of course we are. Who wants to die? Those people on that 727 in New Orleans didn't want to die. The people in the DC-10 in Chicago's O'Hare didn't want to die. The people over there trapped in Beirut, civilians in Tyre and Sidon and in Beirut didn't want to die. No, no. We would like to put off that horrifying experience as long as we possibly can. This booklet, "Afraid to Die," can really give you a lot of relief, can give you the satisfaction of knowing that the big question of your life has already been settled. And if you'll write for this other booklet, "Why Should You Repent?" What is repentance all about? Why did Jesus say, "Repent ye and believe the gospel"? Why did Peter say, if you read Acts 2 and verse 38, "To repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit"? What does it mean to repent? Well, the Bible says it means to be sorry. It means to have remorse. It means to be broken up for things you have done and said and felt and so on. But what things? Repent of what? What have you done? What about you is so bad or so wrong? What particular act or what omission of a good act is a part of your record that you ought to be sorry for? Wouldn't it be kind of nice to know? A lot of the ministers are a little vague when they try to tell people what is sin. They say, well, sin is living a life that is contrary to God. Sin is life in separation from God. Or they say sin is card playing and liquor drinking and dancing. Some of them even say sin is ladies wearing a little bit of modest makeup. Some of them say that sin is a certain kind of music you might enjoy. Some of them say that certain little personal picky habits, like perhaps wearing the wrong type of clothing, being a little, well, maybe you're colorblind, for pity's sake. Maybe you show up with a checked shirt and a striped tie, and somebody says, oh, that's a ghastly tie. Where did you get it? That's a sin. There are people that run around with yardsticks and tape measures. I remember a teacher that sat on the floor and had all the little girls walk by to check the exact measure of their hemline, because if the hemline was a quarter of an inch too, I think he meant long. Or was it short? No, I'm not sure. He was a little guy anyway. He could have stood up and done it. But anyway, some people run around and try to measure. They believe that sin can be measured with a tape measure or a yardstick. All of my life, I've called this yardstick religion. And God is not the author of yardstick religion. If you want to know what to repent of, what sin is, what laws, if any, Christians are required to keep, write for that booklet, Why Should You Repent? And if you want to know about death and what we are and what human life is and what happens when we die and what the Bible says happens next, then write for my booklet, Afraid to Die. In verse 6 of Revelation 21, it says that Jesus Christ will give to him that is athirst of the fountain of the water of life freely, and that means exactly what it says. Now notice verse 7. He that overcometh, here's that language again. Revelation 2:26, to him that overcometh will I give power over the nations. Revelation 3:21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Revelation 20 and verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And in the second chapter of Luke, one of the promises concerning Jesus Christ, he shall inherit the throne of his father David, and of his kingdom there shall be no end. Which throne? The throne of David. Where? The scepter shall not depart from Judah. The throne is to be on this earth.